I'm Deborah Lockridge, editor and publisher of Heavy Duty Trucking, and welcome to our video podcast, HDT Talks Trucking. With me to talk about false logs today is Brandon Wiseman, who describes himself on LinkedIn as a transportation lawyer and DOT guru. I'd agree with that latter. He's great at explaining regulations. He's owner and president of TruckSafe Consulting. And we're going to talk today about false logs. Brandon, good to have you back on HDT Talks Trucking.
Hey, thanks, Deborah. Always great to be here with you.
So you got my attention when you recently wrote in a TruckSafe blog post about drivers falsifying logs. I thought mandatory electronic logging devices were supposed to address that problem. Been 5 years. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, ostensibly, that's what ELDs were supposed to weed out was falsification. But if you kind of think about what it is we're trying to do, we're trying to better identify instances of falsification. So I actually think that an increased number of log falsifications discovered in roadside inspections and audits is actually indicative of the devices doing what they are supposed to do, which is to help sniff out these types of issues. So I don't think it's an indication that ELDs aren't doing job. I think it's an indication that they are actually doing their job and helping us to better identify log falsifications. It's easier. I don't think anybody would argue that ELDs make it more difficult to determine when logs are falsified. I think they do a good job of helping law enforcement and motor carriers identify situations where a driver has either inadvertently or deliberately falsified their logs for one reason or another. So I think, long story short here, I think the ELD mandate is actually helping in this regard.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. So we've seen more false logs caught then, whether it be roadside inspections or DOT audits. How many are we seeing? How much is this an issue?
Yeah, so in the article we published, I pulled some data from FMCSA's enforcement website, and just looking at roadside inspections from 2019, which is the year that ELDs became widely mandated for most every driver in the country, at least interstate drivers. Since that time frame to date, to 2023, log falsifications have risen to become the fourth most common violation, driver-related violation discovered during roadside inspections. How many are we talking here? The interesting number here is that around 4.94% of all inspections, driver-related roadside inspections, have involved some kind of a log falsification over that time frame, 2019 to 2023. So that's one side of things. The other interesting side of things is looking at the FMCSA's data from audits, from DOT audits, compliance reviews. And we see in that context that log falsification is actually the second most common violation that's discovered in a DOT audit. Over that same time period, 2019 to 2023, the FMCSA has reportedly discovered around 21,000 log falsification violations in their DOT audits, which amounts to around 6% of the audits that they conduct. So, those numbers, 5%, 6%, don't seem like all that big of a deal, but they are. They continuously rank as one of the most common violations discovered in both contexts.
So, what are the consequences for the motor carrier? For drivers that, or carriers, I guess, that are falsifying their logs?
Yeah, a couple things here, and this is what makes me particularly nervous about these types of violations. So, number one, if the log falsification is discovered during a roadside inspection, all violations that get discovered in roadside inspections impact, to some extent, the motor carrier's CSA scores. And log falsifications, as you would expect, end up affecting the motor carrier's hours of service basic score in the CSA system. And they are heavily weighted. I think they carry a severity weight of 7 points, if I'm not mistaken. So they are heavily weighted, and they can cause a motor carrier's CSA score in the hours of service basic to tick up pretty quickly. And in fact, a high hours of service basic score is a very common trigger for a DOT audit, And so, you know, keeping those scores down and keeping out of the DOT's crosshairs is kind of the name of the game. So if you kind of think of it that way, the more log falsifications you as a fleet are incurring, the more likely it is you're going to have DOT knocking at your door. And once they're in at your place of business, that's where I really get concerned, because here's how log falsifications can impact you in an audit. So if the DOT is in your office looking at hours of service, let's say, they're looking for primarily what they call critical level violations when they're looking at your hours of service records. And what they mean by a critical level of violations is a pattern of noncompliance over a certain period of time or over a certain number of logs that they are sampling. And so what they are looking for is a 10% or higher violation rate in that context. That would amount to a critical level violation. And they're looking at all the different rules, 11-hour rule, 14-hour rule, 70-hour rule. But they're also looking for log falsifications. All the log falsifications get grouped together. And if they find a log falsification violation rate of 10% or more in a DOT audit, which is not that hard to find, then you're going to get a critical level violation in the hours of service factor for that audit. And the way that the DOT does their audits currently, there's a formula that they use to figure out what your safety rating is going to be coming out of that audit. And it turns out that if you get a critical level violation in the hours of service factor, you're not getting out of that audit with anything better than a conditional safety rating, because of the way that we have this set up. Now, you may be able to appeal that, and you may be able to implement some corrective actions and beg the FMCSA to not let that rating go into effect. But what I've seen over the years anecdotally with a lot of clients is that this is the most common way that fleets get a downgraded safety rating, is log falsifications for these reasons.
And then you can end up talking about, I guess, fines and real problems.
Yeah, so we've only scratched the surface here with consequences. So those are the probably the most common consequences from log falsifications. But we're also talking about, you know, certainly civil penalties, the potential for civil penalties. We see this regularly where carriers, usually they come, it comes on of an audit. So you get audited, DOT finds a critical level of log falsifications in the audit. Aside from getting a downgraded safety rating, the other thing you can usually expect to receive is a civil penalty. And those civil penalties range in amounts based on several factors, including how big of a carrier you are, how many of these violations they discovered. But I've seen everything from, you know, a $5,000 fine up to a $50,000 fine. For log falsification specifically. So that's certainly one issue. But then the other thing is highway accident exposure that comes with systemic problems with log falsifications. If you've got a real problem, if you're a fleet that has a real problem with drivers falsifying their logs, again, whether it's deliberately or inadvertently, doesn't really matter. If you've got a serious problem with log falsification, and then one of your drivers is involved in a catastrophic accident, you're litigating that case, you can be sure that the log falsification issue is going to come to light in that litigation, and it may very well haunt you in that litigation, particularly if one of the reasons for the accident has to do with driver fatigue or something like that. If it turns out that your driver was fatigued and caused the accident because he or she was tired, and then it comes to light that you had a systemic problem with drivers falsifying their logs to potentially conceal hours of service violations to allow them to keep working, even though they shouldn't be because they're tired. You can imagine how that's going to play out in that litigation. In fact, this is in our article as well, but if you look at the American Transportation Research Institute study on so-called nuclear verdicts that they put out a couple of years ago. This is a great study. If you haven't looked at it, be sure to check it out. They kind of looked at all of the issues that the most common triggers for these so-called nuclear verdicts, these multi-million dollar verdicts against trucking companies. Top of that list were hours of service and logbook issues. One of the charts that they have in that study are these top issues contributing to these cases. If you look at that chart, hours of service and logbook issues are a very common contributor to these types of cases. So with all that said, I mean, there are a million ways things can go wrong because of this if you don't get this under control.
I would see that it would be very easy for an attorney to paint that picture to a jury. I mean, that's really easy for people to understand that they're tired, their company let them drive tired, they were cheating. That doesn't look good.
No, not at all. And like I said, particularly if it's that fatigue was a contributing factor to the accident. If fatigue was not at issue, comes a non-issue in that case, but it's going to be explored for sure.
So Brandon, in your blog, you listed some common ways that logs are falsified. And the most common, you said by far, is the misuse of personal conveyance. I know we could spend a whole episode on that, and you've written about that before for your blog and for Heavy Duty Trucking as well. But give us the high points on personal conveyance and why it's a problem with false logs.
Yeah, like you said, we could spend probably 5 hours talking about this. But personal conveyance has always been and continues to be a significant source of misunderstanding among drivers, among carriers, among law enforcement, among the FMCSA itself. Nobody can really get their arms around it. And there's a few reasons for that, mainly because, you know, personal conveyance isn't really a rule that's within the federal safety regulations. It's contained in what the FMCSA calls regulatory guidance. Essentially what it is it's a limited circumstance where a commercial driver could legally log their driving time as off duty. The idea is, let's say you've got a driver who needs to operate his or her commercial motor vehicle, but not at the direction of a particular motor carrier. They're doing it for truly personal reasons. Let's say I'm an owner operator. I own my truck, and that's my only means of getting around. And let's say I'm not on dispatch anymore, and I need to move my brother from Indiana to Florida. He's asked me to help him with that. Or let's say I've got a boat that I need to take down to the lake or something like that. Truly personal reasons. That type of work is not regulated from a safety regulation standpoint. That's just like me, you or me, Deborah, if we were to go out there and hook up a trailer to our truck and pull around our personal stuff. It's not regulated. Right. But the minute that I am doing that on behalf of a motor carrier or for compensation, if I'm doing it in commerce, then it is regulated. So the problem is, if I've got ELDs installed in my truck, how are they to distinguish whether I'm working for a motor carrier or not? The way that we do that is by allowing a duty status called personal conveyance, where if I'm an owner operator in those situations I've described, I need a way to be able to identify to the device that I can legally log this time as off duty. It shouldn't count against my available hours. And the way that we do that is through that personal conveyance status. But you can start to see how this could go wrong, or how it could be misused. And in fact, it is being widely misused by a lot of drivers too. Conceal hours of service violations. You know, you imagine this situation. Let's say I'm a commercial driver. I'm actually operating for a motor carrier. And let's say I'm out on the road and I'm running up against my 11-hour driving limit. Let's say I've got 50 more miles to go, but I'm at my limit. And so if I'm following the rules, I have to shut it down right there. I can't get to where I want to go. What am I to do? Well, if you're following the rules, you would shut down right there and you would take a 10-hour off-duty break. But if you really want to get the job done and you want to avoid the appearance of an hours of service violation, the way you get around that is by flipping yourself into personal conveyance status. And now your ELD is logging that remaining time as off-duty, so that it looks like, to somebody who's not really digging into this very deeply, it looks like I was in compliance with the hours of service rules that day, because I'm in off-duty status starting at whatever time. But it doesn't take much for law enforcement and to motor carriers to do a little bit of digging on that personal conveyance segment of your time and figure out, were you legitimately off-duty for personal reasons at that point in time or not? And if they find out that you weren't, then it's a log falsification at that point. And the reason this is a big deal is because there are hundreds of ways you could misuse personal conveyance. DOT has tried to, over the years, give some examples of legitimate personal conveyance use and illegitimate personal conveyance use. But there are all these little nuances to it and little variations of it that don't fit neatly into the categories that they've set. And so, again, this is another situation, whether it's deliberately or inadvertently, a lot of drivers are misunderstanding that guidance, and they are mischaracterizing their time as personal conveyance. So that's leading to a lot of these log falsifications. And I've said this many times in the past, but it really does you no good if you're a driver to do that, because it's going to be figured out at some point, and you would have been better off to have just incurred the substantive time violation, that 11-hour violation, than you would have been to incur the log falsification for various reasons. So it's just really doing you no good. It's actually hurting you more than it is helping you.
I know. I remember when they loosened that up in, I think it was 2018, with the ELDs, is there was concern about, well, if a driver's hours run out, how does he find a safe parking spot? And that was kind of one of the big examples they gave, is, okay, you can go into personal convenience to find the next closest place that has parking.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Yeah. That's a very common misunderstanding, is that that there's some so-called safe haven allowance in the personal conveyance guidance. It's not true. If you run about out of hours and you're in the middle of the highway, there's no way for you to get to a safe location to rest except to go in violation. That's your only option. DOT would tell you you should have planned better for that situation, and now you're going to suffer the consequences of your hours violation. The only situation where you have the time you can legitimately switch to personal conveyance is if you are at a shipper or receiver facility and you're waiting to be loaded or unloaded, and in the middle of that loading or unloading, you run out of hours while you're at the shipper's or receiver's facility. The personal conveyance guidance says in that limited session, you are allowed to travel to the very next safe resting location.
So what are some of the other ways that you end up with false logs?
Yeah, there are a few others. I would say the second most common way is probably, it's more often inadvertent than it is deliberate, but it's a situation where a driver just puts themselves into off-duty status in a situation where the regulations really require them to be in on-duty status. The most common example of this is when they are fueling their trucks or buses or whatever they're driving. That time is supposed to be logged as on-duty, not driving, rather than off-duty, but you'll see a lot of times drivers just don't realize that they're supposed to be in on-duty status while they're fueling their vehicles, and so they flip themselves into off-duty status. That's considered a log falsification, even though, like I said, more often than not, it's just a lack of understanding on that issue, but it is a log falsification. So carriers need to be looking out. They need to be auditing their driver logs for that issue specifically. And then the other most common way that this comes about is what's called unassigned driving time. This is a situation where if you're using an ELD and you've got an ELD installed in the truck or the bus, and the driver forgets or deliberately fails to log into the device but takes off driving anyway. You know, these devices are required to be built so that they record that drive time, even if nobody's logged into the device. But where does that time go if nobody's logged in and it's not assigned to a particular person? Well, it turns out it goes to the carrier's back office access to the ELD software, and it's put on what's called an unassigned driving report. And that report is detailing every instance, every single minute, every single second where their devices tied to that account have accumulated drive time, but have not assigned those to any particular individual. And the problem with that is when the DOT comes in to audit you, that's one of the first things they're going to ask for when they're looking at your hours of service is, give me your unassigned driving report. And it's a very common way that carriers run into trouble in those audits, is that they turn over this unassigned driving report and it's got thousands of hours of unassigned driving time. Well, DOT oftentimes considers those to be log falsifications, because that is a way for drivers to conceal hours of service violations, is just by not logging into the device. again, it's I keep coming back to this, but sometimes that can be deliberate and sometimes it can be inadvertent. Sometimes the drivers just jump in and they forget to log in and they take off. But other times they're out of hours, so they just don't log into the system and they think they're fine. Either way, it doesn't matter what the rationale for it is. The DOT can treat that as a log falsification. And so the point is, DOT FMCSA expects motor carriers to be reconciling all of that time that's on their unassigned driving report. And so if you're not doing that, you need to be doing that at least on a monthly basis, where you're looking at the report and you're looking at all those time entries, and you're either assigning them to the driver to whom they belong, or there are certain instances where there's just no driver to whom they belong. Like if you had taking your truck to the shop to get it serviced, and then the mechanic is out driving it to test it. Those situations, you're not going to have a driver to assign them to, but you should, at minimum, your back office access to your ELD should let you annotate what those time entries are. Right. And you should be annotating those, like this was a third party mechanic move or something like that. And that's how you stay out of trouble in an audit when it comes to unassigned driving time.
So Brandon, what are some things that motor carriers can do to prevent problems with false logs?
Well, I say this a lot, but there's no magic formula to this. It is like everything. It takes work and it takes effort on your part to get these things under control. So first things first, you can't fix what you're not measuring. So I always say you got to be checking periodically, watching key safety metrics and compliance metrics. When it comes to log falsification specifically, there are a few things you should be watching on a regular basis. Number one, you should be watching your hours of service SMS score, your CSA score. And if you see that your drivers are struggling with log falsifications, you're getting a bunch of log falsifications, now's the time to deal with that before it balloons into a big problem. And then the next thing you have DOT knocking at your door. So that's one thing. You should be watching it on your CSA scores. The other thing are the reports that we've already talked about in your ELD system. You should have someone looking at those reports on a regular cadence. Things like your personal conveyance report, your unassigned driving report, certainly your violation report. Somebody should be watching those. And then once you know where you are having problems, it's not enough to just watch these things. You actually have to take action to get control of them. So if I see that driver John Doe is incurring a lot of false log violations, not even a lot of, if he's incurring one, I should be taking action to address it. Or if the personal conveyance report is showing that he's incurring a lot of personal conveyance time, now is the time to get control of that. So what do I do about it? Well, you got to have conversations with those drivers that are struggling with it, number one. And then you've got to start escalating this. You got to have some kind of progressive discipline. If it turns out that it's a nefarious reason for them using these things or falsifying their logs, then you need to take disciplinary action against them. So you got to have some kind of a progressive disciplinary policy in place with your drivers. But if it turns out that it's not necessarily nefarious, but it just stems from a lack of understanding of the regulations or the guidance or anything like that, you need to be educating your drivers. You need to be talking to them, making sure they understand when they can use personal conveyance and when they can't, or making sure that they are being held accountable to logging into their device if it's unassigned driving time that you're having a problem with. Holding drivers accountable, giving them the education they need, that's really what goes into getting control of these issues.
All right. Any other tips on the topic of false logs?
No, I think we pretty much covered it all. Like I said, it's a huge issue for most fleets in the country. If it's not your biggest source of exposure, I would be willing to bet that it's pretty high on your list. So, like I said, no magic to it. You need to be tracking it. You need to be figuring out if it's a problem for you. And if it is, you need to be getting control of it sooner than later, because it will cause you problems.
All right. Well, thanks as always for your insights, Brandon. People want to learn more, they can go to your website, trucksafe.com, truckinginfo.com, HDT's website. Lots of articles on these topics. I'll put some links in the description. While you're on truckinginfo.com, subscribe to our e-newsletters and stay on top of the issues Make sure to follow HDD Talks Trucking on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. And thanks again to Brandon Wiseman for talking about false logs with us today.